Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We talk at you all the time. Now we want to talk with you. Janet and I are partnering and we are so excited. We will be offering a 3-session series. Talk with boys like a pro about anything and everything.
3 sessions, 3 weeks in a row. Jen, I'm so excited about this because not only do we get to see each other again in a week, but we get to talk directly with our listeners, and we'll be bringing great information, but also there will be time for discussion, time for questions, and that is truly where the gold is.
We will troubleshoot in real life all those questions that pop into your head when you hear us do podcasts and make suggestions. This is your chance to ask, to clarify, to really drill down into how you can use these communication techniques and shift your strategies in your home, in your family, with your child.
Go to boysalive.com/boys. And all the info is there. Get registered. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. Again, that's Talk with Boys Like a Pro about anything and everything. We will be live in May. All the details are at boysalive.com/boys. And get registered. Don't delay. This is going to be so much fun. And it's going to give you peace of mind, new information, new insights. We hope you'll join us. Likely, if you're raising boys, they've already been injured. Today, we're discussing how to keep your children safe from injury and accidents. Stay tuned. This is the On Boys Parenting Podcast. We are your co-hosts, Jennifer L.W. Fink of buildingboys.net. And I'm Janet Allison of boysalive.com. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being our listeners. And thank you for supporting our sponsors.
Injury is the leading cause of death for people ages 1 to 44, especially for children. For kids ages 1 to 14 in the U.S., injuries cause more deaths than the next 10 leading causes of death combined. And guess what? At every age, males are more likely than females to die of injury, largely because they're more likely to experience injury, and the injuries they experience are more likely to be serious injuries. Listeners, you may know this. I have 4 sons. We have already had 2 broken collarbones, a broken thumb, a significant second-degree burn, a nail in a foot, and multiple fishing lures in hands. Keeping boys safe is a top-of-mind concern for parents, especially moms, and we realize it's not one that we've talked about directly here before on the podcast. So today, that changes. Joining us is David Schwabel, a psychologist and director of the Youth Safety Lab at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. David is also a dad, and he is the author of Raising Kids Who Choose Safety. Welcome, David.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be here.
All right. I got to say this straight up. The title of your book makes me giggle a little bit because probably my kids are now teens and young adults, and I am fully aware of the limits of my ability to make them choose anything. And because raising kids who choose safety seems like such a high bar when there's the rest of the world. So what's realistic in terms of kids choosing safety?
We want kids and teens, and when they become adults, to choose safety without stopping to take risks. It's fine to have fun. It's fine to push the limits sometimes.
On dirt bikes and snowmobiles, as Jen's kids often do, thus the broken collarbones.
Well, we might want to come back to that. But yes, let me add the caveat, which is we want our kids to learn when that risk might lead to a broken collarbone. And to stop and think and say, yeah, I can ride the snowmobile and I can ride it fast and I can ride it up and down hills and I can have fun. But you know what? When I go around the turn, I'm going to slow down. And I'm also not going to do it after drinking and I'm going to wear my helmet.
That is so great. And unfortunately, Janet, we've talked about this personally and we've talked about it on the podcast. There are so many kids. A lot of them seem to be boys who you can say it, you can say it, you can say it, and they don't get it until it happens to them. Now, I will say, and I promise this whole thing's not going to be about dirt biking. Absolutely. Helmets, nobody ever argued about that. They all have on their helmets, they all have on their boots. I will say this, since the accidents happened and they know that some of their other friends had accidents, my children, now teenagers, young adults, they are independently purchasing more safety gear.
It is possible to learn, it is possible to change, and I will readily admit, as an injury prevention expert, yes, mistakes will still be made.
Yeah,
But our
right.
goal is to reduce injuries. We're never going to stop every single injury. Even us thoughtful parents occasionally get nicks and cuts, right?
I had a pretty serious thumb sprain, which sounds stupid, but it was highly painful. It very much interrupted my work, my life, my ability to function. And I mean, I'm a pretty smart adult, but I was hiking and there was ice, and I overestimated my ability to navigate something. So, yes, adults make mistakes too.
We do. And our goal is to reduce risk, to choose safety, to choose the safer decision, and to help our children learn how to do that.
You mentioned right at the beginning, we have to help our kids find this balance between being aware of the risks of injury so that they can take action to mitigate those and make choices, balancing that with the risks of trying things, stretching your horizons. Let's dig into that part because I think that is extremely challenging for families to navigate.
You're right. So let's start with the trying things. The only way children can grow is to try new things. The only way you're ever going to ride a bicycle is to take that first pedal without someone balancing for you.
Right?
The way you're going to drive a car is to turn the ignition the first time. So everything we learn in life, we got to do for the first time. And part of developing the natural process of a child growing means they have to try new things. The second part is how do we let them try new things without hurting themselves? So I like to use an example on the playground. So all of us, most of us, have had our children try the monkey bars, right? They're hanging from the bars and
Oh.
they're trying to go one after the other.
I forgot to mention the broken arm and the monkey bar incident. That was my youngest. He was in first grade, and you talk about stretching your capability. He was a pretty capable monkey bar climber, but he decided to try and go from this one like four over.
What I recommend in that sort of situation is for parents to be like a gymnastics coach and spot your child, right? I'll do it, but stand nearby so you can catch them, and they may get a bump or a bruise, but not a broken arm if they slip. And
Right.
that's a subtle difference. Some parents will stand back and watch. What I recommend is we encourage our children, try this risk, learn what you can and can't do, and be there to catch their fall if they slip and reduce that broken arm to a minor little injury.
Know what I love about that is my personal observation. It seems like a lot of people, in their appropriate concern for safety, it's easier to just say, no, don't do that. Right? If the kid doesn't go on the monkey bar, they are not going to get a broken arm or a concussion from falling off the monkey bar. It is a lot easier to say no. It's much more time consuming to say yes, and now I have to be there while I make sure that this kid is learning and can navigate it until the point where he is confident enough and I am confident enough in his abilities that I can sit on the bench while he does the monkey bars.
Well, and I want to point out too the difference between moms and dads in situations like this, that moms in general, over my 20 years of working with parents, moms tend to err on the side of safety. Don't climb that tree. Don't go on that monkey bar, or hovering a little bit too much. It's a fine balance. And dads tend to be the ones of like, yeah, climb that tree. Yeah, try those monkey bars. And so what I do is encourage moms, if you're uncertain, if you're feeling anxious about your child climbing that tree, ask a man, ask a dad, like, how, you know, what's your risk assessment here? And typically dads will be the ones that be like, yeah, try it. But the thing is, it's like, it's a continuum. And I think it's so much about helping our child trust their bodies. So that requires a lot of movement and a lot of, you know, being out in nature and climbing over those uneven rocks. And as you said, like making those mistakes a little bit, but also being adventurous and willing to try and encouraged by the adults around them with this measure of watchfulness that you're talking about.
I love it. I think your distinction between moms and dads is right. It generalizing a little, but that is the typical pattern. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely agree. You know, I sometimes like to say I am anti-bubble wrap. Mm-hmm. I don't agree that we need to bubble wrap. We can't always say no. We need to allow our children to grow and try things, but we need to do it safely. Mm-hmm. I work with a group in Scandinavia, and they encourage this outdoor climbing on rocks and climbing trees, and they very much push it. And that's kind of in the more extreme level, but they see success and they see the children grow, and they're kind of the outdoors Norwegian type mm-hmm. culture, and it works wonderfully, and their kids grow up typically safely and typically to be a little more adventurous and take risks in all aspects of life.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about your TAMS method, which I want to get into, but as we're talking about those Scandinavian kids and that safety and outdoors, I'll say it. Jen's tired of hearing me talk about my grandson, but.
No, I was going to ask you to bring him up. Janet's got a grandson who just turned one, David.
Oh,
so, I mean, safety. You know, we're talking about a kid. He is just learning how to walk and explore the world, and top of mind concern, right, Janet?
Yeah, yeah. But the thing they have done since he started crawling, since he started moving around, that is so remarkable because he learned it so quickly and is consistent no matter where we are, is feet first. So feet first down the step, feet first off the couch, where, you know, wherever he is. And now we can just sit back and we trust that he's going to go feet first. And he does every single time because that's what he's been taught and modeled. And that's what he does. It's embedded in him now.
What a great example. And I'm going to highlight one piece of that. There's so many good things there. But one key piece that I take from that is children can learn. Even yeah. age one, 12 months old, they can learn safety. Now, you're not going to teach them 50 rules, but you can choose very carefully a couple of rules like feet first, and they can learn and practice and do it.
Mm-hmm. And even before, I mean, you know, he's not talking back. He's not communicating with his parents. He's not even understanding everything that they're saying. But that, two words, simple, role modeling. Tell us about your TAMS method, David. How does that fit into TAMS? What does that stand for first? And then let's use that example to break it down.
Yeah, absolutely. So TAMS, T-A-M-S, is our method to help children choose safety. The T stands for teach. So we teach our children basic skills. So in that example, we teach Bo to go feet first, right? Feet first off the couch, down the stairs and so forth. And we teach that lesson. If we're dealing with an 8 or a 10 or a 12-year-old, we're teaching much more advanced skills, mm-hmm. crossing the street, riding your bicycle, whatever it might be. A stands for act. This is the parent's actions. And I like to divide it into the two S's. So the A divides into two S's. S number one is to supervise. And that's hard. That gets at our example of mm-hmm. the monkey bars. You need to supervise. You can't be on your phone on the playground. You got to be spotting and helping, right? Supervision is hard, very time consuming, but also very important.
And I want to give a shout out to parents because supervision is hard and you're human. You cannot supervise well every moment. as a parent, you know that you can have your eye, especially if you have more than one kid, you have your eyes on one kid. Somebody else cries. In the second you turn to go look at this one, something happens to the other one. Parents, we do the best that we can.
Stated, I absolutely agree. And that leads into the other S, which is safeguard. So supervise and safeguard. And safeguard kind of provides a backup when our supervision is distracted and not perfect, right? So safeguard for our one-year-old, maybe putting outlet covers on the outlet, putting a stair gate up. Okay, you probably know a lot of this. Mm-hmm. But safeguarding extends up to much older children too, right?
Safeguarding with teenagers right now, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
My husband hunts, so we have guns.
Mm-hmm.
They are in a gun safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's a safeguard. That's not one I'm willing to compromise on. Other safeguards for teens can be things like, frankly, keeping your liquor locked up and out of the way. If you get pain pills, I mean, so many of us, somebody at some point is going to have surgery, have a chronic injury. You may have opioids prescribed appropriately in the house. Store those inaccessible from your teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are just chances that you don't want to take.
I agree. And it's hard to admit. We all think our kids aren't going to touch it.
Oh, man. We were teens once, David.
And you know what I tell parents? Like, even if you think your kid's not going to do it, do you trust your kid's friends? If you need to frame it as I can't trust my kid's friends to not touch or find this stuff, whatever you have to tell yourself. Lock it up. Keep it away.
The T is for teach. The A is for act. And that divides into our two S's of supervision and safeguard. M is next. TAMS. M is next. And M stands for modeling. It means we model safety ourselves. And this gets hard too. Parenting isn't easy. But let me tell you a story. This is back when seatbelts were first being used regularly. And the researchers were studying what causes kids when they start driving, what's the best predictor of the child using a seatbelt when they start driving?
Whether their parents buckle up consistently every single time.
If mom and dad buckle up, kids buckle up. And that is, to me, the beautiful research, and it applies everywhere. Helmets, keeping the stairs clean of junk on the floor that you might trip on. The list could go on and on and on. Whatever you do, your kids are watching.
As you know, as a psychologist, it goes through everything, parents, not even just the basic safety stuff that we're talking about this moment, but all the things that your kids tell you, especially when they're teens, you know, you think they're not listening to you and they're not, but they're watching how you interact with other people. They're watching how you treat people. Do you treat people with respect? Because if you don't, all your words about treat people with respect don't matter. Do you drink in moderation, or do you overdo it all the time? Like, kids see these things, and research has consistently proven over and over again and again and again and again. And the older I get, the more I think that this is the most powerful thing that we do as parents. We lead by example, whether we're conscious of it or not. So let's pay attention to ourselves.
It is so powerful. You're absolutely right. And it helps our kids learn to choose safety if we choose safety.
Teach, act, model, and we'll get to the S of the TAMS method after these messages from our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart.
Babies need to eat. And whether you breastfeed or bottle feed, use formula, combine all of the above, you need options. We wanted to let you know about ByHeart baby formula. ByHeart has a patented protein blend that gets the closest to breast milk. It includes two of the most abundant proteins in breast milk, and ByHeart actually ran a clinical trial comparing their formula to a leading infant formula and proved that babies on ByHeart have softer poops, less spit up, and easier digestion. ByHeart is also the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk. So if you need baby formula for your baby, consider ByHeart. New customers can get 10% off your first order by using code ONBOYS at ByHeart.com. That's ByHeart.com buyheart.com/podcast, and it is 10% off your first order. buyheart.com/podcast. This is a limited time offer, and additional terms and conditions may apply. We all know that vitamins can help fill nutritional gaps in our diet, but a lot of us don't like to take vitamins because we don't like swallowing pills. How do you feel about that, Janet?
There's some days that I look at my vitamins and go, yeah, I should take those. I'll do it later. But I'll tell you what's changed. I have gotten Easy Melt vitamins. I have the D3 and I have the B12s and a multivitamin. And I just pop them in my mouth and they dissolve and I don't have to think about swallowing a vitamin.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily need water either to have on hand to get this big vitamin now.
Yeah, no, and they taste good and they're sugar-free. They melt quickly. The reason they melt is because of plants, not chemicals.
Ah, plant-based nutrition. For a limited time only, you can receive a free 3-month supply of Easy Melt Vitamin D3 with your first purchase. To claim your free D3, visit try.easymelt.com/onboys. That's try.easymelts.com/onboys. What is S?
S is for shape. And shape, I think, is the hardest one to conceptualize. So shaping is literally shaping like a piece of clay. Our children are growing and we are manipulating and influencing. And one of our key pieces to shaping is through rules, we set. So we go back to Bo, feet first, right? That was a rule that he learned as a young child, and that will apply as he grows older. Rules are difficult for parents because we need to be consistent, not just within one parent, but among all adults, including grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle and babysitter and whoever's involved. We need our rules and we need to fit consistently. The rules, and children need to learn them and follow them, and we need to shape our children through those rules.
You mentioned it. I wanted to come around to it, but you mentioned it. Consistency. It's important. It matters. And there is not infrequently, I would say more often, more commonly than not, there is disagreement within families about how strict or stringent to be on some of these rules. Even when it comes to modeling within a family, right? You may have one parent who's like, yes, we, all of us in the family need to put on a helmet when we ride our bikes. And we may have another parent going, we never did that. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. How do we navigate these things, David?
I wish I had a magic solution. Wave the wand and parents always agree. No marriage is always going to have perfect agreement. No parenting arrangement is going to have perfect agreement. But there need to be compromises, there need to be discussions, and there need to be resolutions. And I know it's easy for me to say that, it's harder to practice it. But the more that parents can do to work on to achieve that consistency, the more it's going to help your children be safe and help your children grow in the way you want them to develop.
Well, and shout out to the parents who are parenting in two different homes. And that can be really tough too for, you know, the mom can't see what's happening at divorced dad's house. And so, you know, back to hopefully there can be discussion and compromise and conversation about it, but it can be scary.
What are some things, in your opinion, David, that are worth, I don't want to say fighting for, fighting is not going to resolve anything, but you know, there are some things, you mentioned discussion and compromise. So there are some things, okay, this is, we'll find a compromise. And maybe there are other things where it is so important to hold the line. Can you help us maybe quantify or give us some structure for looking at some of those things, for having those discussions?
Yeah, I think each parent and each family needs to figure out where that line is. But there's some clear rules that I would advocate for all families. And that's where you've got situations where you may have a fatality. It's hard to think of that. It's hard to imagine our child dying. But it can, and unfortunately, it does happen. So where do we draw that line? Medications need to be locked up for toddlers. Poisons, cleaning supplies, fuels, swimming pool gates need to be closed and locked every time. Drowning is actually the leading cause of death for children age 1 to 4. And swimming pools are a major risk factor in the yard. You need to have it fenced and locked and closed up.
Because even if you think your kid respects the water, your kid knows not to go close to the water, and most of them do, like we do teach those things, you know, just like Bo is being taught feet first. Kids know those things and they may do it right 99 times. Mm-hmm. But that one mistake can be so utterly devastating. The risk far outweighs the benefit. Let's put it that way, of not closing the gate, of not having a gate.
As kids get older, road traffic becomes a high risk. So you start to think about walking on the street, pedestrian behavior and bicycling behavior and skateboarding and rollerblades and scooters and all the other wheeled instruments, where we need rules about where you can go, where you can't go. Are you old enough to handle traffic? And of course, helmets. Mm-hmm. And as we go into the teen years, then you start thinking about driving safety. Okay, distracted driving, phones in the glove compartment or in the trunk, away from drivers, alcohol and drugs, driving sober, these sorts of rules. So those are lines that I would, mm-hmm. if I were a parent and I had a disagreement with my partner, I would draw the line and say, this is indisputable, I'm setting the line. Mm-hmm. Elsewhere, there may be compromises. Mm-hmm. But when you've got possible fatalities, possible very serious injuries involved, I would say no negotiation.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about teens and driving and alcohol. And what we know about boys is that when they are with their families, they make certain decisions, a little more safe maybe. But when they're with their friends, the decision-making steps kind of change.
I want to underline that holds true for males of a lot of ages. Like, we're not just talking about teenagers. If you have a 7-year-old boy, if you have an 11-year-old boy, they are likely to make riskier decisions when surrounded by their peers than when surrounded by their parents. And this is something that I think it's helpful to know that. It's hard to know what to do with that information.
I agree. And that takes us back to the TAMS method. If you've taught, if you've modeled, and if you've shaped, you're not going to act when you're not there, right? They're with their peers, so there's no action. But you're teaching, you're modeling, and you're shaping over the past weeks, months, and years has influenced your son to make the right decision. To be with their peers who are drinking and driving and to say, you know what? I'm not going to ride with you. I'm calling an Uber, and my dad or my mom may yell at me, but I'm getting home safely. And if I explain why, they probably will be mm-hmm. accepting.
Mm-hmm.
You, on the other hand, have to say, maybe there's a little yelling, but maybe there's also, you know what? You made the right decision. I'm not happy you were out drinking, but I'm also happy that you were willing to tell me that and you made the right decision and got home safely. And we have to control ourselves as parents, and that's not easy either, and say, oh my gosh, my 17-year-old was out drinking and drank too much. They got home safely, and I'm going to congratulate and thank them for that. And then maybe tomorrow we'll discuss the alcohol issue.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I worry about specifically on this issue, I live in Wisconsin, David. If you have seen any stats of anything about Wisconsin, you know that drinking is a pretty big thing here. To the shock of nobody, we once again surpassed all the other states, all of them. So this is a huge cultural thing here. And it's a challenge for me because there's what I say and there's what I try and role model. And then there's the reality that my kids are living in a culture where, I mean, people drink at softball games. People drink at kids' baseball games. I'm not kidding you. People moved here from another state and they're like, are they seriously selling beer at 8 a.m. at this kid's baseball game? Yes. Yes, they are. And we didn't know that was weird until you came here and told us that.
Wow.
Yeah, Janet, that's a thing. A thing. Not everywhere, but wow. I can tell you where you want your kids to play ball if you want cheap beer and when.
I'm speechless.
So, David, we all live, you know, we have our family and that culture. And then there's the larger culture, which isn't always, especially boys, they get a lot of messaging about like, let's do some, as a woman, I call them stupid things, but they sort of get glamorized. Mm. How do we talk about and help mitigate cultural influences?
You know what? We're not going to change culture. People are going to be drinking beer at 8 a.m. at a Little League baseball game for many generations, and I don't think that's going to change. And, you know, I could talk about here in Alabama, people are going to go out hunting and taking risks. And you know, everywhere you are, there's a cultural thing, right?
Yes, yes.
And so we need to work with the culture we got. And we need to work with the culture we live in and that our children live in. And we need to teach them to choose safety based on our teaching, our actions, our modeling, and our shaping, our TAMS method, that they recognize, you know what? If people are going to drink at the Little League game, okay, that's the way things are done in Wisconsin, but we got to get home safely. Mm-hmm. And we got to drink in enough moderation that we're aware of what's going on and we don't embarrass ourselves and we don't trip over the, you know, the baseball bats that were left in the grass, right? The goal of parenting is to teach our children not to avoid risks. As I said at the beginning, children grow by taking risks. Those risks are drinking beer at 8 a.m. at a baseball game or riding a roller coaster or driving 3 hours away to see a girlfriend they met at summer camp. Whatever it is, we need to teach them to do those things safely.
Well, there are so many ways to worry about our kids, aren't there? And when we come back after these messages from our sponsors, we are going to be talking about the influence of media and the messages that your son hears often.
We all know that vitamins can help fill nutritional gaps in our diet. But a lot of us don't like to take vitamins because we don't like swallowing pills. How do you feel about that, Janet?
There's some days that I look at my vitamins and go, yeah, I should take those. I'll do it later. But I'll tell you what's changed. I have gotten easy melt vitamins. I have the D3 and I have the B12s and a multivitamin. And I just pop them in my mouth and they dissolve and I don't have to think about swallowing a vitamin.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily need water either to have on hand to get this big vitamin now.
Yeah, no, and they taste good and they're sugar-free. They melt quickly. The reason they melt is because of plants, not chemicals.
Ah, plant-based nutrition. For a limited time only, you can receive a free 3-month supply of Easy Melt Vitamin D3 with your first purchase. To claim your free D3, visit try.easymelt.com/onboys. That's try.easymelts.com/onboys. We've talked about so many other things. There's all kinds of messaging in our media. We live in it. We see it. It's the commercials. It's the music. It's the TV. It's what's online. It's what's on TikTok. All of that. There's a lot there that we don't necessarily want our kids exposed to, but this is the world. So let's use these opportunities to talk about these things. I mean, the upside, air quotes, I've got all kinds of opportunities to talk about things that I see and choices. And this is what happens when people get DUIs. And this is somebody that was injured. These aren't pleasant conversations. Do my kids like hearing me talk about them? I can tell you absolutely guaranteed not, but they got to hear it. They got to hear it from somewhere.
They need to be taught. They need to be modeled. They need to be shaped. You know, the media is a great question. So we're doing research right now in my laboratory on superheroes.
Excellent. Let's talk about that.
Superheroes do superhuman things, right? Mm-hmm. They fly and they climb and they fight and they do all sorts of things that kids can't do.
They don't even get bruises afterwards, David.
They don't. In fact, they're usually portrayed as the hero.
Yes.
And it doesn't show them taking their ibuprofen the next day because they're so sore.
<I'm> not.
And a lot of kids, I mean, Janet, your grandson, as he's growing up, right? There's a period where you're not entirely sure. I mean, you don't really know the line between reality and fantasy. My brothers, for a while, had my oldest son talked into the fact that he could fly. Poor kid. He ran and he flapped his arms and he believed it. He was too old for this too. We won't go into that. But David, tell me about your research. Like, what are you looking at and what are you seeing so far? What do you think you might investigate?
So this research is focused on very young children. So ages 3, 4, 5 year olds. And what we're finding is that the media does influence them, and that won't surprise you. And that they do, the children who love superheroes, who watch superheroes, who wear superhero clothing and have the lunchbox and the cape and the toys, they take more risks when they play. And they sometimes pretend to be superheroes and they pretend to fly and they hurt themselves.
If you have a cape on, and I don't care if it's a purchased cape or if you just took your blankie and tied it around your neck or tucked it in your shirt, you are going to at some point jump off something to see what happens and to feel your cape flutter.
Yes. And so what do we as parents do? We supervise, we safeguard. And so if you've got jumping spots in your backyard, do you need to put mulch or something underneath it so that that jump of Superman has a softer landing? Mm-hmm. That would be safeguarding, right?
You know, you said something there that triggered something for me. If there are jumping spots in your yard, one thing that parenting boys has taught me is that they see the world differently than I do. They consider things jumping off spots that I never would have considered. I would think, looking at my backyard, okay, fine, the picnic table, right? You know, the bench of the picnic table, the top of the picnic table. Sure. They see things like the top of the playhouse, which is, you know, 10 feet or more up in the air. What I am saying, parents, is this supervising your children and watching your children, observing your children, also sort of teaches you what they see and where they look at. So moms, I don't think you can entirely rely on what you think might be a safety hazard. Like, you got to watch and sort of see how your specific children are interacting with the world as well.
Yes, I agree. And that might also lead to shaping and setting rules and saying, yes, you can jump from spot A or B or C, but spots D, E, and F are off limits.
Right? Yeah. For instance, when the kids got older and they thought it would be a brilliant idea to move the trampoline, which, you know, had a net around it and all that, to move it next to the playhouse and jump from here to here.
And this, like, is getting worse and worse.
No, that is not okay. The trampoline, yes, but no, that you are not doing, because at that point the risk was ratcheting up way too high. Mm-mm.
Oh, kids' brains are still developing, to take it back to the science, and that won't surprise you. And their ability to judge that risk, to judge that playhouse to trampoline to grass, is just a bad idea.
Right.
It is not at the same level. They don't have the same brain as we do. Even in their teen years, their brain is nowhere near developed. The recent research suggests it may not be till the early 20s that an adult brain is kind of developed. And so they are going to take risks, and we do need to intervene as parents and say, think about what could happen here. Let's change your plan. You can have fun. You can take some risks. You can jump like crazy on this safe trampoline, but not from the playhouse to the trampoline.
Yeah. I will be honest. My kids were older. Remember, they were teenagers at this point. I invoked my liability insurance. You know what? Like, they don't want to hear me say no, but if I say, hey, I can't do this because I'm not going to have insurance on my house and my car anymore, for some reason, that helped, that worked. Because when you say that kids' brains are not the same as ours, they're not. And that is exactly why so often, like, I will look at my guys and I'm like, how did you think that was going to turn out? How did you even add up that you thought that would be a good idea? Because to us adults, it seems blatantly obvious that this is probably not going to end well. Sometimes we have to say no, and our kids are not going to like that.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's that if then thinking. They've got the if I do X, Y, Z, yay. They don't have the then yet.
Well, isn't there also, David, some research that, especially when they're with peers, and I believe boys more so than girls, they tend to overestimate the if positive potential more than the if negative potential.
So for my dissertation research under my mentor, Jody Plummer, we set up little toys. So for example, there's a bookshelf and you can raise it lower and higher. And there's a little rubber ducky on top of the bookshelf. Okay. Children stand with their hands by their side. They look up at this. Can they reach it or not?
Ooh, boy.
All kids overestimate, right?
Sure.
Gender difference, boys more than girls, but not tremendously slow, actually, surprisingly. Definite age differences, older kids are better than younger ones, but even college students overestimated what they could do. Guess what? More overestimation, more injuries in your history.
There's individual variation to this. Like some kids are especially more prone to overestimating. Others may even underestimate their abilities.
Early underestimation, real, real cautious child. That does happen.
Yeah.
But there's a huge range in how much you overestimate. And there are many kids that do some and some kids that are our risk takers. Yeah. Always bad because they end up, they get through life. They might get hurt some and we teach them to not get hurt as often. And what do they do in adulthood? They choose careers that involve some amount of risk. Their personality leads them into things that may be, firefighters or pilots or, I work with a lot of emergency room physicians. They like a lot of excitement in the emergency department.
And they're crazy. I was a nurse. I am not the emergency department kind of person. I'm a let's get them up to the floor. You tell me what's wrong and I know what to look out for. And then I had four boys. That was maybe a bad choice given how I like to handle risk. But this is what happened.
We need those people. We absolutely. I'm remembering we just had an incident here in Oregon at the mouth of the Columbia where it enters the Pacific Ocean. A man decided to steal a yacht. So he's out on the Columbia Bar, which is notorious for, it's just like terrible. And he calls for help. And so there's a Coast Guard, of course, and this guy jumps out of a helicopter and is swimming to this boat in these rough seas. And a huge wave comes and capsizes the boat. It's quite dramatic, but it's like we need people who thrive on that kind of adrenaline and love that kind of risk. And it's risk, but it's also risk with safety. You know, they're not just throwing this guy out in the ocean to swim. He's trained and
a ton of training,
prepared, and I'm sure lots of risk assessment went into that. So shout out to all of those people, male and female, who do those risky occupations. And, they were probably taking risks as kids because that's their personality. You said something about, the anxious child. I want to touch a little bit on the anxious parent. And, I can hear, just imagine some of our listeners listening to some of these stories and feeling some anxiety and over worrying. What would you say to those parents who are probably likely moms, not to stereotype, but might be moms of boys?
I would first say I feel for you. I was an anxious parent as well. We all have some anxiety. And I think I would then say, remember your child needs to grow. Your son needs to grow up. And that's fun to watch. It's fun to be part of. And the best way to let your son grow up or your daughter grow up is to let them try things. Let them try things in a way you think they'll be safe. On the monkey bars, spot them. Crossing the street, at first hold their hand. And then as they get older, let them look at traffic and tell you, I think it's safe now. Can I go? And you say, yes, you can go. And you walk next to them. And then you work up to maybe you're on the other side of the street, a residential street to start with, and a larger street as they grow older. And so you're working up step by step, and you're pushing yourself to say, I can get over my anxiety by letting my child do things in a way I can protect them, but also let them learn, teach them, supervise them until they can learn to do things on their own, because they will. You're not going to protect them forever, right? They're going to be with peers starting in kindergarten, right?
Yes.
You'll be at school with peers, and so you need to work up and get them going.
That gradual release of responsibility that you're describing is key to so much of this, because we can, and we have talked about some general guidelines, some pretty good hard and fast rules. Also, you have to look at your child. Every child is different in terms of their risk assessment, their personality, their physical and mental capabilities. Every parent is different. When you take this step by step, you watch your child watches you. You gain some more confidence in your child's ability. Your child gains confidence in his ability. It's not like to do or not to do the monkey bars. We can do these things in steps and pieces as we build trust and confidence on both sides. David, your book is Raising Kids Who Choose Safety. It is available online. Parents, it's a great resource to have around. And I think that this could be a really good way to spur some of these conversations with, say, grandparents, caregivers, I don't know, your spouse, if you're disagreeing about some of these things.
Yes, there's a chapter focused on your kids with other people like grandparents and babysitters, because that raises anxiety.
Absolutely. Let your kids take risks. Risks are absolutely necessary for growth, for enjoyment, for life, and teach and model how to safely take risks, how to mitigate the odds of something bad happening and increase the chance of this being a positive experience. David, thank you so much for your work with children, for making some time for us today. I look forward to seeing the results of your superhero research.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you today.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.